This is a day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Look at the beauty of the day out there today. Finally. Yeah, something to rejoice in. Man, oh man. It's supposed to get nice. Snow. Snow. What's the matter with him? He burned out there in Kansas, that's for sure. I'll tell you. So he did. Okay, let's start off with a word of prayer. Father, I thank and praise you for that day now that you've given to us here. And Father, as now we're going to be starting these lessons, Lord, here, Father, that we've been waiting for and I've been preparing and just all things about it. And Father, especially this lesson today, Lord, I just ask that you would let your Holy Spirit just take and work just like he did in me. And I just ask that you would just help us here today. Father, we need your help. This is your word. This isn't our word. This is your word. We believe that you are the great and mighty God. We believe that you're our creator. We believe that we're going to be with you someday. And we just ask now for your help that you would guide and direct. We thank and praise you for this beautiful day here now that you've given to us and just for everything about it. We ask now that you would help us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to get started here on raising children. But first of all, I got some stuff here that I'm going to go over first. I feel that it's something that is very, very, very important. The pastor was the one that got me going on this. It's his fault. Blame him. Don't blame nobody else but him. And the worst part about it is he didn't even know it. But I'll explain that to you here in a little bit. So we're going to get started here on the children. Don't ask me how long it's going to last. I can't tell you. I'm sure it's going to be a while, believe me, because I've got lots of stuff. I keep running into more stuff. I keep thinking I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do that, and it's coming together, but we'll get it. We're going to get it. As a matter of fact, I even had to, I just redid about 15, 16 lessons I had to retype. So, and you'll see what that's all about. And I want to tell you what, if anybody needs typing lessons, you just come to me because, buddy, I can show you how to type real fast. Boing, 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 boing. Why in the world did they put typewriters, why did they put stuff so stupid? Wouldn't it be so much easier? Listen, you learn, those of you who type, you know where everything is. But wouldn't it, you could have learned just as easy if it would have been A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And go out across like that instead of stuff being all over the place. Because I'm going along and here's a P, a U, a Z. Where's the X? There's got to be an X in here someplace. You know, it's nuts. It's really stupid the way they have this stuff. But, man, it takes me forever to type stuff. But, you know, slowly I'm getting there. I asked my wife to do it, and she's just so busy she can't help me do some typing. But that's okay. So we'll get it. We're going to get it together here. And we're going to have, hopefully we're going to teach you something. We're going to have some fun with it, I hope. And I just, it's something that we're, that's just something that we, I hope that it's going to be interesting to all of us. Even as somebody that's raised my kids, you know, I've already learned some stuff already. And, you know, the thing is, I have grandkids that I can help out. So, you know, it's just one of them things where I can still learn. You older people, you can still learn. You know, you have grandkids also. But you ones that have the kids, you know, you're the ones that, you know, you've been asking questions and stuff. And I still haven't figured out how to put all your questions in yet. I'm working on that, so I'll get to that. I'll get to that there when that time comes. So, okay, train up a child in the way he should go, but be sure to go that way yourself. That's what my lesson's about today. That's what it's going to be about. Hopefully, I don't know if I get it through today or if I get through next week or whatever. But I got to start out this way. This is the way that I was led. How many of you ever had a bad attitude? Well, you see, that's just it. That's how this all got started out. I had a bad attitude. I came to church one Wednesday evening when we had Bible study on Wednesday evenings. And the pastor didn't know it. I fooled him. But he fooled me too. Because he went over something and the Holy Spirit just took me and just thrashed me right down and showed me, hey, why you have this here? Why you have this attitude? Let's go this route here for a second. Did any of you ever do stuff against your parents that they didn't know about, that they didn't want you to do? Elizabeth, I can't believe you're shaking your head. Brothers, sisters. Now, my brother and myself, I mean, we were the best of kids. My mother and dad never gave us a licking or anything like that because we were so good. I think that we constantly were getting it, constantly. I was thinking of the help boys. Nate's not here, but the help boys, you know. I've heard some stories that they told me. And Corby, I've heard you tell me some stories about you and your brothers. You never did nothing like that, huh? Just the brothers. Oh, yeah. They led you on, didn't they? See, we all did that. But see, here's the thing. What I'm getting at is, you did it. Guess what? Your kids are going to do it too. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My kids love to sit around and tell these stories about stuff that they did that we never caught them about. And I don't know why they do this. You know, I don't know if they're trying to get to their mother. Because it doesn't bother me, because I already did most of the stuff that they already did, you know? But I don't know if they're trying to get to their mother or what they're trying to do. But you see, what my point is and what I'm getting at is what you are is what your kids are going to be. 9 chances out of 10. Sometimes, you know, there is some that, does do the things you want them to do. I think that maybe one of them, there's some of the kings in the Bible, if you go through, and you'll see, I think Hezekiah was one, and a few other ones where their dad was no good for nothing, but yet they turned out really good. And there is some children that do that, you know. And it is amazing, you know, sometimes when that happens and takes place. But like I say, what you are is what they are going to be, you know. So that's why I'm going to go to where I'm going to go today, because I feel, first of all, you have to be right to lead your children in the right way that you want them to be. Now, it all stems back to one thing. Some of the things you think about it right now, I know you're going through your mind, some of the things that you did wrong, you know, and stuff. And your kids are going to do it too. What do you think that is? There's a problem there. What do you think that is? Huh? Sin? Rebellion? What do you think the problem is? Why did you do the things that you did against your parents, you know, that you hid, you know, from them? Why do you think that you did that? Well, it's something that we're going to study. And it's going to be a big time study, so it is, because I got a lot of stuff on it. It's a heart problem. You think about it. It is a heart problem. And that's something that we're going to be studying. Like I say, I've got a lot of stuff on it. And, you know, I seen this. I mean, it's just something that I seen that the pastor showed me. I came here, like I said, I came here with a bad attitude one Wednesday evening. And the pastor hit a passage that we're going to start here and go over, if you want to turn to Colossians chapter 3. And he hit a passage. I told him about it, but he didn't know it. He didn't know that he even did anything about it. You know, he didn't know how the Holy Spirit was working on me. But it's something that's so important that I feel, first of all, that you parents, myself, let me put it this way, myself and you parents, all of us have to be right. We've been hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. Lately, the pastor has been hitting on it. Lately, Brother McDonald that was here, he hit on it, you know. We have to take the old man and get rid of him. It's that old man. It's like the pastor said, it's one of the toughest things that you can do in life. So it is. But guess what? That old man's in your kids too. Now, sometimes some problems come into, and hopefully that I'm going to hit on it later on, but you know, what do you want your kids to do? You ones that have kids right now, what do you want your kids to do? I mean, you're taking them to church and stuff. You're telling them about the Bible. Serve God. Okay. And the main thing is you want them to be saved. Is that right? Okay. Okay, say one of them gets saved. You're rejoicing. You're having a great time over it. But then the responsibility comes that you've got to teach them. We disciple people when they get saved. It's the same thing with your kid. You just can't say, wow, they're saved now. That's all that I have to worry about. And a lot of people just mess up and they don't teach them the right things, you know. This was something with my bringing up. I mean, my dad, it's all started in him. You know, he started, and my brother, he knows just what I'm talking about. Oliver B. Green, if you ever heard of him, the man is a preacher. He is a hellfire preacher. And he started listening to him. And he started in on this stuff when we were kids. And he started saying, we're going to go to church. Well, guess what? You think that we wanted to go to church? But, buddy, we started going to church, you know. And, you know, and it all just came about, you know. Finally, after, as the pastor says, and the man's right. It's the Word of God that changes your heart. It's the Word of God that you get saved. It's God's Word. That's what we heard. We went to different churches. The kind of the same denomination at that particular time, but they were all different churches of the same denomination, you know. And first of all, we were going to a Lutheran church. I had catechism. Whoopee. What was it? I have no idea. I can't tell you nothing about it. I know you were. Did you go to Lutheran church too, Corb? I can't tell you. I was a young kid, you know. All I wanted to do was rip and tear and carry on, you know. I didn't care about that stuff they were trying to. I don't even know what it was that they were trying to teach us. And we were going to that, and my dad said, man, oh, man, they're not. After hearing Oliver B. Green, he says, we're not hearing the Word of God, you know. And we weren't. We weren't hearing the Word of God, so we weren't. You know, and it wasn't until in my later years where finally we were going to these here camp meetings and all that kind of stuff. If you never went to a camp meeting, you need to go to a camp meeting. Because, I mean, they got different preachers there and stuff all the time. You remember some of them. What was that one over there at Lukington that we went to? Mount of Blessings, that was one of them. Then there was one down there at, huh? Yeah, there was one at Penns Creek too. The one at Penns Creek where I was, we were down there, that's where I got saved when I was a young kid. Now, I didn't realize that at that particular time, and you can say, you know, what you want about that, but you can't say, you know, for sure all this stuff. But I know I turned my life over to the Lord at that particular time. Okay? I'll put it to you that way. I know I did. Now, I wasn't taught nothing. They're dead at teaching any kind of discipling or anything like that. All this denomination was, and don't get me wrong, there's nothing the matter with the denomination because they believe the same as you and I do. It's just they got their different beliefs on the different teachings and stuff. That's all. But they don't teach, they don't disciple people. They need to learn to do that is what they need to do. And, you know, we need to disciple our kids when they get saved. It's very important. Listen, when I know the first that first one that you held in your arms, you were so proud. You were so happy. Everything was just going so good. But you know, when I looked at that first one that I held in my arms, it was a grave responsibility, I thought. I got to take care of this baby here now that we have. I got to take care of this baby, you know. And did I blow it? Yes. My wife was one. Give my wife the credit for it all. I'm telling you, it was her. She's the one that helped raise these kids. My responsibility was, I thought, I got to provide for them. I got to take care of them. I worked my tail off day and night to try to provide for them. But she did all the other stuff. So she did. She did the teaching. She did the training. She's the one that took them to their games. She's the one we had them right at that particular time in the Christian schools. She's the one that would every day ram across the Lewistown Mountain back and forth, picking up kids, taking kids home, picking up kids, taking kids home. And, I mean, they'd have a ball sometimes. Chad will tell you that there's one time where she came across and she couldn't see right. She just couldn't see right. And Chad was laughing at her, and she just kept fussing around. She couldn't see right. Here, one of the lenses fell off her glasses, and she didn't realize it. She said she couldn't see right. And the kids just laughed at her because of it. They had a good time at it. But she's the one that took care of it. She's the one that did the responsibility, you know, of it. For me teaching, I helped some, you know, at night when they would go to bed. That Chad, especially Chad, Nathan, we worked on some. But we made him go over verses, you know. Scripture verses. He could rattle them off to you just left and right, you know, as he laid there in bed with him and stuff, you know. But that was my wife's doing, you know. She's the one that taught him. It wasn't me. I'd just say the verse to him and he would say it. So, but you've got to teach your children. You've got to teach your children. And I believe that once they get saved, it's your responsibility. But as that thing that I just read off to you, your heart has to be right. If your heart's not right, you're not going to teach them. I tell you what, and you're going to wonder why, and I hear a lot of people say it afterwards, why did my kid turn out this way? Were you right? You know, was your heart right? That's my question. That's my question I ask myself. Was my heart right, you know? Some, you know, if my kids would have went astray and stuff, I still ask myself sometimes, just on some things, I ask myself, you know, was I right? You know, that's the thing. Colossians 3, verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. What do you think that verse means? Just what it says.
don't seek the things of this world, but seek the things that care about what God cares about.
You're saved now, okay? This is a saved person.
That's right.
This is a saved. This isn't somebody that's not saved, okay? This is somebody that's saved. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ. What did we just celebrate last week? You're to die with Christ, just as the pastor says. You are to die with Christ, and then you're to be risen with Him. You are to be risen with Him. That's a changed heart. You're changed. You're not worldly anymore, you know. And so many times, that's what's the problem today with Christianity. We want to be in the world constantly all the time. And we only want to be doing church and, you know, doing our praying and all this and that just whenever it's convenient for us. You know, that's what happens with a lot of churches today. It's that convenience for them. No, you're risen with Christ. You're a changed person. The old man is gone. That's what this here is all about. The old man being gone. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Pastor, Romans 6, 4 and 5, and Corby, Romans 6, 9 to 11. or risen with Christ.
Romans 6, 4, and 5. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Newness of life. I think that means that your life has changed. There's a newness there. It's something that we've got to grasp. It's something that we've got to apply. You know, it's just something that, you know, if you're a new person in Christ, let the Holy Spirit work on you. You know, let the Holy Spirit teach you. I wouldn't have even came over none of this stuff, and we're not even close to where it really hit me yet. But when we get there, I'll let you know. But you know, that's where the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit work in your life. Romans 6:9-11.
Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
You're alive now. Realize that. You're alive unto Christ. You're alive unto God, you see. And that's why he says then, seek those things which are above. In verse 2, verse 1 there yet. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Let's see, Natalie, would you go to Psalm 16:11? Van, would you go to Psalm 73:25-26? And let me do this other one here then. When you get it, go ahead and read it.
Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
Psalm 73:25-26.
Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my body and my portion forever.
Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He says, seek those things which are above. So he does. And we're to seek those things. And he tells us where to seek them. Where are we to seek them? What's that? The Word. But he says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He tells us where Christ sits. He tells us where to seek. Let's see. Bunny, would you go to Psalm 110, 1? Danny, Matthew 26:64. Mrs. Johnson, Luke 20:42. Wifey, Ephesians 1:20. And while you're there, go to Ephesians 4:10 too. I'll remind you. Chad, 1 Peter 3:22, and Mrs. Chad, Hebrews 10:12. She has a little pain, I think, today, so I just have to raise her spirits up there a little bit. Psalm 110:1. Matthew 26:64.
Jesus saith unto them, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven.
Luke 20:42. Ephesians 1:20.
Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places.
And 4:10.
He that descended that he might fill all things.
Hebrews 10:12.
But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God.
And 1 Peter 3:22.
Who's gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him.
Where are we to seek? You heard all them verses. Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. He's right there. He has the power. His power lives within inside of you if you're saved. Seek him. Seek out these things. Go ahead. You hit it right there. Why is it that so many people have to see to believe? That's why he gives you faith. That's what the faith is all about. Forget about that seeing. Forget about it. You know, you don't have to see to believe. If you see to believe, you know. The same way with Moses when he went up on the mountain there, I'm thinking about, you know. God wouldn't even let him see him. He said he would, you know, he'd die. He just seen, it said, the back parts of them. You know. If he'd have seen God, he'd have believed. But, I mean, then he'd been with God, that, as far as that goes. Anyhow, he couldn't have came down and did what he did. And to think about it, here you had all these Jews seeing Christ, walked with Christ, left him preach to them. You know, seeing his miracles, did they believe? They killed him. I mean, if that's what believing is, you know. If that's what seeing and believing is, that they killed him, you know. Was there some that, you know, I believe there was some truly followers, you know, throughout that ministry that Christ walked here on this earth. I think there was some true believers in him. But, you know, they just didn't want to stand up for him. Just like we Christians don't want to today. Just like that's why the America is the way it is today, because of it's our fault. And I've said it and said it and said it, and I will say it again. It's our fault that that everything is the way that it is today. You know, if we would fight the way the homosexuals and the lesbians do with our religion, now they're coming against us. Are we going to stand up and fight them? Or are we going to do like they did out in Indiana? They set up that thing, but now they have to change some stuff around. Why change it? There's no reason to change it, you know. You don't have to change it. Seeing isn't believing, you know. You know. That's why we're to take it just like you said there, Ben. Take it by faith. That's just what it's all about. Taking it by faith. Seeking God. Seeking these things. Seeking that so far. Okay. So then he says, set your affection on things above, not on the earth. What does that mean? Just what it says, Ron. I know. I agree with you, you know. But, you know, do we comprehend that? Set your affections on things above. If you want your kids to turn out right, set your affections on things above. Then you're going to be teaching them the right things. Not on things on the earth. Yeah, they're not going to understand some of this stuff because, you know, they're around some of these other kids and some of these other kids do some of these things, you know, and stuff. But that's where you need then to come in and say, listen, this is why we don't do this because... And do it lovingly to them, you know. I mean, Colossians 3 here gets into some very good stuff here, you know. Like I said, it's the stuff that changed me on it. And Corby and I were talking here just recently, and, you know, it's just sometimes your kids will come to you and catch you off guard, and you may throw them the dirty eye. You may say something that you shouldn't have said, you know. And guess what? What are you teaching them? To be just like you. Has your heart changed? You see, this is my point on this whole thing. This is my point on this whole. I'm going to keep repeating this over and over as I go through this, because that's what it's all about. Set your affections on things above. You wouldn't have so many dead churches today if we were doing that. Seriously. You wouldn't. They want to hear something new, something intelligent. Set your affections on things above. You'll get the intelligent things. So you will. Yeah. You'll get them new things because God will show them to you through His Word. Not on the things on the earth. Yes, there's lots of things here in this earth, because this is where you were born. This is how you've been raised. This is the old man, this old nature that is in you. But here he's saying that old nature, which will hit here in verse 3, for ye are dead. The old nature is dead. It's dead. The old man is supposed to be dead. You know, we're to be new. We're to be new. We're to seek those things, set our affections on things above, not on the earth, you know, is what we're to do. Let's see. Ben, go to 1 John 2:15-17. Jennifer, would you go to, that's here. Luke 12:15. I'll read this other one while you're looking them other ones up. And this setting your affections on things above is that, you know, the affections means your mind. Getting your mind focused. Getting your heart focused on things above. Just like verse 5 there says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Your members are upon the earth. I'm going to hit this verse really hard here in a little bit, hopefully. But, you know, we're to mortify actually means they're to be dead. Dead. Period. Dead. To put to death is exactly what it means. Plus a bunch of others I'm going to read off to you here in a little bit. Okay. 1 John 2:15-17. The things he possesseth. The things he possesseth. Yes, we all have houses. We all have a place to live. We all have a vehicle. We even have extra stuff, some of us, you know. The thing is, there's nothing the matter with that. But if it gets to the point where idolatry comes in and you say, oh, my neighbor got a new car, this old thing of mine, you know, I got to have something new or newer. So what do? You go out and get something. The things that are on this earth. Listen, when I was raising my kids, and you asked my wife, we had junkers. It was something that somebody else had that they smashed, and I fixed it up, and we ran it. We needed a little more room, and we needed a station wagon. Luckily, I found one that somebody rolled over now. I tore the inner liner out of the roof, popped the roof out, got it fixed, put a windshield in it, and she took off with it. We didn't have to have the stuff that the neighbors had. We couldn't afford it. I said, that little kid that was in my hand, it was my responsibility to take care of him. You know, and no matter what I had to do, that's what I was going to do. I didn't have to have the new stuff to do it. Like I said, we had junk. We drove junk. We got a van because we needed something a little bigger. Every time you started that van, them bearings would hammer and knock, and the pastor knows what I'm talking about when I'm saying bearings. They'd hammer and knock, and they did that for years. That old 306 that Ford had, I don't care what you say, buddy, that was a motor. Because that baby hammered for years and years. When I got rid of it, they still hammered. I never did nothing to it. It didn't blow or anything. It was just till the oil pressure got built up or something. But you'd think it would knock them out after a while, because you know what it's like to run something without oil. But, so, you know, it's just one of them things. You don't have to. That's what I'm saying here. Set your affections on things above, not on the earth. And that's what he's talking about here, you know. Verse 3 here, he says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ." You're dead. You're dead with everything, you know. Your life, well, let me put it to you this way. Your life is deposited into God. You take money and you deposit it into the bank. It's your money, but the bank has it right now. You can write a check out anytime you want to and get your money, but the bank has it. Your life is deposited into God right now. You belong to God. He wants you. You can write your check out to Him, but He wants you. You know, you can pray to Him. You can do what you want, but He wants you. You know, your life is deposited into Him. The old man is dead. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's telling these Colossian believers. Your old man is dead. The old man in you is dead. This is called the new life in Christ, is what this chapter is all about. The new life in Christ. I like this here whole chapter because it's pretty neat. After you get to verse 17, he's talking about this new life in Christ and you having your heart changed. You see what verse 18, how it starts out. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents." Huh. Isn't that something? I think that was pretty neat. He wants your heart changed, and then you can do these things. But he didn't put that beforehand. He put that after he tells you you need to be changed. I think that's pretty neat on that there, whole situation there, as Paul puts this out here. But anyhow, he's saying here, the old man is dead. He's dead. Elizabeth, would you go to Galatians 2:20? Charles, would you go to Romans 6:2? Let me see. Let's read them two right now. Well, Ron, let me pick you out here. 1 Corinthians 2:14 and Nancy, 1 John 3:2. We'll just go that way too. Did you get that? You're crucified with Christ, he says. It's not that I live. Read that again. That's neat. Listen. I'm sorry.
I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
There you go.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Man, there's power in that verse there. I'm not kidding you. You know, you're crucified with Christ. You were hung on that tree. You were with him. That's why he said. That's why he starts out. If ye then be risen with Christ, you rose with Christ once that you got saved. Romans 6:2.
God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
How shall we? You know, how shall we? Okay, 1 Corinthians 2:14.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
You can talk to your blue in the face out here, you know, with people. And if they're not saved, that verse applies right there. They can't discern it. They can't understand it because it's God's word. They can't understand it. That's the natural man. That was you and I before we were saved. We couldn't understand it. But aren't you thankful that the Holy Spirit worked in your heart? Showed you them mere verses, whatever it was. That preaching, whatever it was that word that changed you. That's what that word that changed you. Okay, and the last one there, 1 John 3:2.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Man, there's some good verses here. I hope the Holy Spirit's working in you, letting you, you know, working you with these verses. It's not me. It's these verses. I'm hoping that these verses work in you because that's what worked in me. You know, you got to have that heart change. You know, you got to have that heart. If you don't have that heart change, I'm going to say it again. How do you expect to teach your children? How do you expect to bring them up in the admonition of the Lord, if your heart's not right? Do we fall sometimes? Yes. You're not going to be perfect. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying you got to have your heart changed. It's a heart thing that you've got to change these kids' heart. My wife just showed me a picture last night. My two grandkids. Was it last night or the night before? The night before. My two grandkids. Their sister, their little sister, their baby sister, got her bath in her bathtub. Here it comes, yes. She goes into the bathroom, and here's her brothers, both of them in the baby's bathtub with their clothes on. She handles it really good. Back in my day, we wouldn't have handled it that way. But she handles it very good. This is what I'm saying. You know, your heart has to be changed. You know, it's got to be changed. You guys could tell me stories. I know you could tell me stories because all of us, all even these older people, they've gone through it. They could tell you some stories about you probably. Boy, I'll bet you, Pastor, you could really tell me stories about Elizabeth, but that's okay. You don't have to. But anyhow, you know, there's stories that's out there. You know, you see it. But you know, if you want to bring these kids up, and you know, and I can see just in those two, or those two boys, and I mean they are boys. And buddy, I can tell you right now, you know that they're not saved. You know that. They got the old nature in them. The older one, when he throws his eyes at me and sticks his tongue out. I grabbed a hold of that tongue the other day, buddy. He didn't stick it out after that because I had a hold of it. And I mean, I had a hold of it, too. Uh-huh. But, you know, you got here I am telling you about how to handle stuff, huh? But your heart has to be changed, you know, to do these things, okay? It's a changed heart, you know, that there is there. And that's what I'm trying to get over here to you. When we get down here to verse 8, that's the verse there that really, you know, changed me. But we didn't get there yet. And we've got to stop here right now. Did you got any questions or comments here before we quit? Go ahead, Ron. I did. It was loving, and it was the Christian way. The only thing is, I pulled and squeezed a little bit. That's all. Then. Yep.
All the time.
Yes.
Not just in church.
All the time, yes.
That's our kids need to see us under that control.
That's what I'm trying to get across. The kids have to see it. Because, like I said, what they see, what you are, that's what they're looking at. And that's my whole thing here, is what you are is what they're going to be. Power of God in our lives, you know, and getting that in us so that we can get it into our children. That's the key. That's why I have to start. That's why I say it. That's why I'm starting out the way I am here for an introduction. This is introduction number one. I think I got an introduction number two after this one's over with, but it's okay, you know, because there's somebody that I shouldn't read, but I have to. I have so many books, and I've been reading, and I just come across something, you know, that's in God's Word, that a man and his kids. It's going to be something here. I just want to show you. It's an example. And I don't understand it all yet, you know, on it. Being a high priest, you know, and having your kids being a high priest and turning out the way they did. And you already know who I'm talking about, but you know, it's. You know, why was he given somebody to raise that turned out the way that he did? I don't understand it. But we're going to hit that one because, like I say, I read that and I thought, oh, I got to teach that because, man, oh, man. I mean, the way this guy puts it out there, whew, it's good. But anyhow, any other questions or comments? Be careful here now. You know, and that's something that I've really been learning, you know, talking to him during the day, just when I'm doing something, you know. Hey, I need help with this, Lord. Or, you know, I'm thinking about this, Lord, you know. Give me something. Give me some insight here, you know. I have been learning. That's just something, you know. I don't know why I have to wait till my older age to learn all this stuff. You know, I wish I'd have been younger when I learned this stuff, but I don't know. It's the way it is. Anybody else? Okay. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We ask you to be with us this day. We ask for your guidance and direction. Thank you, Father, for making this day. Thank you for giving us the breath of life to be here today. And help us, Lord, to learn these many lessons that we're going to have here, Father, in bringing our children up. We praise you and thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.